Welcome to Waiting on the Bonus Points, a Fantasy Premier League podcast brought to you by the Herald Sports Desk. Hello and welcome to what is the final episode of Waiting on the Bonus Points. It's an emotional setup here in the studio. Who we have here, obviously, Jack Ball, the gut man.
Hello, very sad times.
Yeah, obviously I'm the stat man, David Monday, but we... There are some things to celebrate, even though it is the final episode. Well, yes, the producer is waving his hand. John Bishop is here. That's one of the things we can celebrate. The other thing we can celebrate is we have a special guest, stroke returning regular. It's Mr. Emotional, Baron Cross. Say hello.
Hello, I am back, people. I know you've all missed me.
Yeah, exactly. He's back in the studio, inverted commas. He's on the phone, and hopefully the connection won't cut out, because actually every single special guest we've ever had, that's happened to. So we'll just touch this wooden table, and hopefully, you know, if you're listening to this later on halfway through, you hear us go, oh no, he's gone off the phone, then yeah, we've not edited it properly. But so as we said, it's the final episode, because I'm leaving the Herald on April 27th. And I know that it's frustrating. It's like weird timing, because it means that our final episode is actually not the final one of the season. So we've had to kind of make a few changes to how we were going to do things. There's not going to be any forfeit today, because actually while we're recording this, Bank Game Week 35 isn't over. But for us, you know, we've really enjoyed doing this podcast this year. So a lot of this episode is, there's going to be some talk about what we're going to do for the rest of the season, and perhaps a bit of advice in what we're going to do. But it's mostly going to be looking back on a great season that we've had, the three of us covering FPL. And, you know, inflicting forfeits on each other.
Yeah. It's gonna be a sad time.
Yeah, it's very, very strange feeling. But before we get into any of that, obviously Baron left us about 2 months ago, and some of the listeners might not be too aware what he's been up to. So, Baron, why don't you tell us what you've been up to covering Leeds United?
It's been very, very different. I've like I say, I moved to West Yorkshire into Leeds, and I've now been covering Leeds United week in, week out for about 10 weeks. Football's not as good as I was hoping for, but hopefully they'll improve next season and have a tilt at the playoffs. It's an enormous club. They get easily more than 30,000 every single week, so it is a proper sleeping giant, and it's a travesty they're not in the Prem. But I've been finding time for my FPL team as well, as you both well know. It's still winding me up. It's just been... we'll probably go on to it, but like, it has just been weeks and weeks of anguish and pain for me. It's a tale of two halves this season.
I do miss seeing your face on a Monday morning, and
honestly,
sort of
like,
just knowing how your weekend's gone.
My silence on messages should be taken as wrath and fury and anger, and just banging my head against the wall trying not to say something I regret.
Well, it is weird, because it is a while since we saw that side of you, because you've not actually been here, so we've not been able to see it.
You haven't been able to see him on a Monday morning moping.
Well, I mean, yeah, because like you say, it has been a season of... You've not done terribly.
I've not even blown up. It's just I've been steady Eddie, sort of in and around average and a bit below average some weeks, but my gap has been severely cut, and the unthinkable might happen.
It's been trimmed. It has been trimmed. Yeah, in the last sort of... I think I've worked out the other day, I've had something like 8 green arrows in a row. And it's gone quite well for me. Like, I was basically, when Baron left, I think I was about 250,000, and now I'm 58,000 or something. You know, it's been a good couple of months, so I'm definitely catching up. But I mean, I trimmed it. What was it? To about 24 points ahead of Blank Game Week 35, and then flipping Lacazette. Oh, I went basically on my free hit. I went for Aubameyang instead of Lacazette. I tried to ride the mind games.
People that listen to the podcast will remember you famously said, I'm not focusing on catching Baron anymore. I've given up on that.
That's true.
Jack will remember that as well.
Yeah, no, about 4 weeks ago, I decided that actually I could do this, and I was going for it. And then now, Lacazette and David Silva in this most recent game week, I think, have kind of left me with too much to do, because you've extended the gap to about 40, 50 points now.
But what? Form is temporary, class is permanent.
Oh, yeah.
What chips do you both have left? Dave, you have a triple captain.
So I played the free hit chip this week, so yeah, the only one I've got left is triple captain.
Do you have one left, Baron?
No, I'm done now. In fact, I'm actually quite pleased. I can just play the final 3 weeks now without any... I'm to think about anything else.
Yeah, I do feel a lot of pressure with that triple captain chip, because...
Massive pressure.
Especially, you guys obviously watched the Spurs against Man United. I thought it was really weird that Poch just left Kane out of the team. Barely saw it.
It's bizarre, isn't it? Because, I mean, it was so obvious when the fixtures were announced that Kane at home against Newcastle and West Brom, game 37, was such an obvious one. And I can obviously cover it to an extent by getting 2/3 of whatever score you get. But it's changed a bit now, isn't it? Because Salah. Jesus should play twice against two great fixtures. And of course, as you've just alluded to, Kane is off the boil. So it's interesting how we're going to approach that, because you know, I could either look to cover whatever you do without knowing what you're going to do, or we go for different captains. And, you know, let's say you go Kane and I go Jesus. Anything could happen.
Oh, yeah, incredible. I mean, I'm kind of feeling a little bit of relief. I mean, you know, it is strange that we're not going to record this podcast anymore, but I am happy with the fact that come game week 37, I won't be writing any articles about who to pick as captain, and I won't be saying anything on the podcast, because it will truly be, you know, like you've just mentioned there, Baron, like you won't have as much information to, because sometimes you've worked out who my captain is just by listening to me on the podcast and maybe having a look at what captain article I did, because you can sometimes work it out from the way I've described certain players.
It's really hard to do this podcast without giving anything away.
Yeah, exactly.
It's competitive, isn't it? It's really difficult.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I definitely have. I mean, you know me. I just tend to play my own team. Really, I don't really look to cover other people or what they do. I just sort of have faith in whatever I do, because I think I'd kick myself if I sort of changed what I was going to do just to try and cover somebody else. But it's quite hard, like you say, to conceal anything in the podcast.
Oh yeah, exactly. And I suppose, I mean, I guess like the game is just very different in these last couple of weeks, because, I mean, Jack, you always keep saying this, and I'm trying not to believe it because I don't like hope, but you're saying that, you know, the gap between me and Baron, a very well-picked triple captain could make that up.
I said it's going to have to be very well-picked.
Oh, yeah, it would have to be. Yeah, it would have to be.
But I said it for quite a while now that I've always thought the Baron has been catchable, you know, with the triple captainship. And when it went down to 24 or whatever it was, but I mean, Baron, you must have been delighted with Lacazette scoring a couple of goals.
We should just talk about that. Yeah,
you cannot underestimate yesterday for me. I was working yesterday from home, so I was sort of in my little office/second bedroom, and I had my work laptop on one go, and then my personal laptop on the other, watching the games. And as I said in the messenger chat, I mean, you guys have talked about it quite recently about how good a season I'm having, and I can't really whinge too much. It has been phenomenal, but it's been a while since I've had that game week buzz, if you like. I've just been ticking over, but I actually had a buzz yesterday. Lacazette did nothing, and then Aubameyang came on, and effectively Aubameyang and Lacazette were at the same starting point. Like, Lacazette had paid more than 60 minutes more and had gained nothing.
Yeah.
And then to go and grab two goals at the end of the way he did, and then for Silva to score the first City goal. It was
so
just,
early as well.
Oh, my God, like, just fist pumps galore.
See, that's the thing, isn't it? It's differential as well, Lacazette, you know, especially over Dave.
And Silva as well, I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody wanted to get City players. Everybody had free hit was getting City players, and I'm there was obviously the argument of getting defensive cover, like Dave did with Otamendi.
Oh.
There was Jesus and Sterling were pretty much the only ones that everybody was agreed on.
Yeah, that's true.
You either went for with a second fielder or a defender, and I'd say Silva was behind Sané and De Bruyne in most people's lists. Mm. So I went with Silva. I looked at his stats. His stats were, he's a bonus point magnet. He's ridiculous. Mm. So I'm so pleased he actually scored. It was just, yesterday it was such a relief yesterday, because I've obviously felt the pressure for quite a while now. And not just in Harmony League, but in a few others. I've been romping it all year, and suddenly I'm like struggling in quite a few, and there's some quite tight gaps. So it was nice to actually feel like the points meant something yesterday.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, conversely, I had a bit. I don't want to say. I think I didn't have a nightmare, because I'm still way above the average. But compared to people who played the free hit, I feel like it could have gone so much better. Because and I think, I don't know, maybe I second guess myself a bit too much. Like, I tried to be a bit too clever. I should probably basically I went for Goodmanson in the midfield instead of having Barnes up front, because obviously I needed. You couldn't have any more than three Burnley players. I feel like I probably should have gone with Barnes and played 3-4-3. Hennessy was on my bench with 10 points, and then Pope conceded within 10 minutes with Burnley. And part of me just thinks, why did I put Pope in? Because, you know, we've started to realise over the last couple of weeks that Burnley are not a defensive team anymore. They've kept one clean sheet, and it's now 14 mm-hmm. matches. But they are scoring goals, which is why I put Goodmanson in. Maybe I should have put Barnes. But yeah, I don't know why I basically put Pope in instead of Hennessy. Hennessy was in the team, he was just on my bench. And then Otamendi got benched as well. Aubameyang didn't start, and Lacazette did. So, you know, I'm on 53, and I'm not going to get any more, because Everton Newcastle's not going to affect me.
I still can't believe that Lacazette started. I was sure.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I mean, if he got injured in that game, that could have totally thrown out the Europa League plan.
Did you think that Wenger was bluffing?
I really thought he was doing it.
Definitely thought not, that it was a mind game and a bang out.
Not just bluffing. I think it's on the last week's podcast. I thought it was the worst attempt at a mind game. Clearly, he was just being honest. Yeah. So I looked like a fool last week.
I was, we were all on for Aubameyang, weren't we? I mean, I was going to get him until Wenger said what he did, and then I just thought, I just can't take that risk. I mean, that's his, you have to take him at his word.
Yeah, I suppose the reason I didn't go for Lacazette, though, is because I the way I looked at it was, if Aubameyang's a doubt, why is Lacazette not a doubt? Because he didn't say that categorically Aubameyang wouldn't play, and I thought that if Aubameyang did start, it would be at the expense of Lacazette, because they don't often play together. So, I mean, I couldn't bring myself to go with Lacazette, because, like Jack mentioned, it just didn't really make any sense to play Lacazette. I get Wenger's line of argument, but honestly, right, if you're playing Atletico Madrid on Thursday, I'm sorry, but a Sunday game against West Ham at home is not prep. That's not even close to being similar.
The thing is, if he got injured and you can't play Aubameyang, you're screwed. That's why I thought it was just an awful attempt at bluffing.
He would have just looked like such an idiot. Because of all the things he's done in the last couple of years, and he's clearly going a little bit senile, he's made some really strange decisions, right? And then he's got all that flack from the fans, and obviously he's announced that he's leaving. You know, it would have just been kind of like classic Wenger, or modern Wenger, to, start Lacazette, bench Aubameyang when he can't play, and Lacazette, break his leg or something. I mean, it didn't happen. And obviously it worked out well for those who, you know, kind of took Wenger at his word instead of trying to second-guess him.
I'll tell you what, though, when Aubameyang came on, him and Lacazette looked good together.
Yeah, because Aubameyang did get the assist for Lacazette's first goal, didn't he? So, obviously, I've had a little bit of pain this week, and one thing that we can all agree on, though, was that City game. Obviously, we all got lots of points out of it, because we had Sterling, Jack, obviously, was your captain, we had Jesus, Barron, obviously, had David Silva. There was that one moment in the game, Sterling goes down, he gets a penalty, Jesus steps up, and all three of us are looking, oh, here we go, that's 9 points from one kick of the ball, and what happened, Jack?
I knew he was going to miss it. Sterling, as we all know, I've not had Sterling all season. This is the first week I've
Is it the first
Sterling
time you've had Sterling?
First time I've had Sterling.
No.
He's such a good player to have.
I captained him as well.
Good call. And
you know, in the first 15 minutes, he already got an assist and a goal. And I thought, oh, come on, finally, something go my way. And don't get me wrong, he got 11 points, and that's not a bad return.
And obviously, you captained him over Salah, and he outscored Salah, so well done.
But, yeah, fair play, Jack. You deserve credit for that.
It's one of a very few achievements I've had this season. And yeah, so when he won that penalty, I thought, oh, Jesus is going to miss it. I know he's going to miss it. And he did.
he didn't look confident, did he?
I don't even know if I've ever seen. The fact that he lost the points and missed the penalty and then got an assist, it was just absolutely balmy.
Oh. It's so frustrating because we both own, all three of us own both players. It went from, with one kick of the ball, because had that gone in the goal, that was 9 points before bonus even comes into the equation.
Captain.
And then for you, obviously, Jack, what would it have been? It would have been 10 plus 4, so it would have been 14 points for you, 9 points for me and Barron, for those two players combining, to Jesus missing the penalty and getting an assist, because Sterling then is then not, therefore not involved, 9 points or 14 points, just a one. Because that's the net, and it's just so frustrating.
And I don't know if you watched the game, Barron, but I was just saying to Dave, a few moments later, Sterling took a corner, and I can't remember which defender headed it, but a defender headed it, and hit his own post. So was it
Company?
So Sterling took a corner, a Swansea player headed it against his own post. Mawson, it might have been, actually.
Yeah, I watched the game, I don't remember that, but I did watch it, yeah.
A couple moments later, and I thought there was two potential assists, narrowly missed within the space of about 5 minutes.
Sterling is one of those players who his expected points is always a bit higher than his actual points, because first up he misses a lot of sitters.
Yes, that's very true.
But then in that game, I guess you've got to say that's bad luck. But I mean, he still did very well. And as Barron said, he's been great to have this year. It was nice to have him back, although of course, because it was only on my free hit. Guess who has returned to my ranks? None other than Riyad Mahrez.
Can't wait to get rid of Mahrez.
Oh no, and I got Willian as well. And well, that leads us on very nicely, I suppose, just to a quick chat about what we're going to do for the rest of the season. Now, obviously, it's still quite relatively tight between me and Barron. There's about 40 points in it, so I understand that both myself and Barron might not be completely forthcoming about what our plans are for the rest of the season. But, you know, I mean, the start on the free hit situation. Jack, you've already used yours. Barron, you've looked back at your team for 36, for 37, 38, that's come back after you picked a great team for 35, and you've got to be thinking, what am I going to do with this lot?
It's so hard not just to get back into my pit of hell from like game week 32 to 34, but like, you know, when Alonso got the ban, thinking, what have I done to deserve this? So it's a difficult one with Alonso. I mean, I watched the Fantasy Football Scoutcast, and a few of them have got Alonso, and there was some suggestion there that it might be a good thing that he'll be well rested and he'll definitely play the two games in 37, but with the FA Cup final, you never know. He might be in the doghouse with Conte. He might get rested. So I think with that amount of money in my defence, he's probably my first priority. I need to work out what I'm going to do with him. But as we've already alluded to, I think Mahrez, Willian, Lukaku, they've all got to be under threat. I mean, it's pretty obvious that we all need to get City players in now. So I think Jesus and Sterling must be some way up my list of priorities.
Yeah, no, I'm in a similar situation. I mean, I don't have Alonso, so I mean, I guess you could say I'm lucky in that respect, because I am thinking that I might roll my transfer for 30, so make no transfers in 36 to then give myself maximum transfers available for 37. And I'm not saying I'm going to do this, but I haven't ruled out taking a 4 or an 8 point hit in 37, because obviously that is, you know, you both know that's when I'm playing my triple captain, because it would be silly to play it any other time. Who I'm going to play it on, I don't know. Kane is obviously still in the frame. He's got game week 36 is Kane's audition, basically, for that.
I hope to Watford, that's going to give you a good steer.
Yeah,
if he doesn't absolutely hammer Watford, then you've got to have concerns.
Yeah, but thankfully there are alternatives in the City ranks, and because they don't have any other competitions, and there's injuries, you know, there's options. I mean, basically, at the moment, without going in too deep into the stats and bearing in mind it is 2 weeks away, it's probably going to be either Kane, Sterling or Jesus as triple captain. I can't see anyone else past that. I mean, that may change. Things may happen in the next couple of weeks, but I mean, that's what I'm looking at. Triple captain 37, either
the
Kane
signs
or
are good from City, though, aren't they? I mean, when you look at what they did yesterday and Pep's making all the right noises about records and stuff, it's good for FPL managers.
Yeah, exactly. What about you, Jack?
Well, I'm quite happy with how this last week's gone. I mean, I didn't have the free hit, so I've not, you know, but I'm on 52 points. So I did take an 8 point hit to bring players in, which going forward is, I think, is looking quite good. You know, so I took an 8 point hit, but I got 32 points from an 8 point hit. So in the end, that was worth it. It's just trying to get my team ready for the double game week. I've got my bench boost left.
Of course,
so
yeah.
So trying to get players in over that time.
You've got to upgrade that bench.
Yeah, I've still got my bench boost. So, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not competing for much, but I've got a few friends in other leagues that have been giving me a lot of jip, so I need to try and catch
the
them.
You're desperate not to pay money to charity.
every time. No, there's a league I've got where basically me and my friends, whoever loses, gives money to charity, and I don't want to lose that one.
Well, I don't know if I can register myself as a charity, but... I've
donating FPL points now.
But I've got another friend who I was quite far ahead of at one point, and then I think during January when I totally lost my mind and used my wildcard ridiculously and
created a team that needed a wildcard.
Quite rightly, as I would say to anyone else, he's saying to me, "You're on an FPL podcast and I'm beating you," and it's, you know, it's all that sort of, you know, that pride that I'm trying to get back. So yeah, I've still got my bench boost and I just need to work out. And my last few transfers, the last few weeks, I've been with that in mind as well. So that's what I'm working towards, just to try and finish on a high. We've also got our own work league at the Herald, where there's
money
still
available.
Money available.
The reason why it's so tense, I think, between me and Baron in that league is basically I'm fourth and Baron, I think, is back up to second. He was leading
it
for a long time.
I've jumped Tristan.
Yeah, and they've got this guy, Tristan, who I could catch, but I kind of probably needed to beat him by more in this week. But either way, basically the top three spots, they get money, and fourth gets nothing.
Do you get any more money like when the season finishes, or is it still month by month?
So it's month by month. So you get £20 for winning the month, £15 for coming second, third for coming five for coming third. It costs £5 per month. So basically, I think you basically break even if you come third. It's £10 if you finish third. So basically, you get a £5 profit if you come third in the month. £10 profit if you come second, £15 if you come top. And then at the end of the season, it's based on how many people are in the league, but it's something like third place gets around £38, second place gets about £60 to £70, and then first place gets about £120 on top of the monthly winnings. So,
that's good, yeah.
Baron wasn't aware. Yeah, so there's a lot on the line.
I better chase Andy then.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot on the line. So
I've just realised, obviously, the sleeper, Richard Mofa's left, Baron's left, now you're leaving, Dave. I think there's only two of us that actually work in that place still on that thing.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's not really, can't really call it a work league anymore.
Well, I mean, some of them still work for Trinity Mirror titles, though. So Baron's moved from, you know, one up to, you know, Leeds. Richard Amoff is now in Devon. So technically, and of course Scott, who is leading the league, he works in Cornwall. So there's plenty of people in there who still technically are employed by DC Media. So it's not too bad. But yeah, either way, so like I said, there's money on the line. So I mean, and basically I'm currently occupying fourth place. And if I finish one position higher, it will be considerably more lucrative for me than if I stay where I am. So lots of things to happen between now and the season. You've mentioned your mini leagues, Jack. We should probably just say, because this is the last episode, that don't worry, you are 100 points clear of your mum, so you should probably be okay.
Well, I knew I'd come good in the end.
Yeah,
so I think she stopped playing, to be fair.
You've got your own personal league where you've got 20 people in it. Your mum is 19th. So, your mum's 19th place, so she's going to get relegated next season. I don't know if you've got a championship set up for that.
I should have 24-man championship. That would be a good idea.
And you're currently 10th, so that's not too bad. And you've this week, you have jumped Michelle Owen, the Sky Sports reporter, going places.
Yep, that's always a good sign.
That's always a good place to be. So moving on then, from the more detailed stuff, we are now going to delve straight into our waiting on the bonus points farewell, where all of the ins and outs of who to have this week, who's your captain. Now, we don't want to talk about that. We want to look back on what we've been doing over the last year and pick out some of our favourite moments, because there have been quite a few. And, well, Baron, as it's your first time back, I'm sure you spent a lot of time reminiscing at Elland Road about the days of yore. You know, what was your highlight of being on this podcast?
I suppose my crowning moment was It's So Thick with Julie. So that's up there. It's hard really when you're on the spot to actually think of a highlight. I think the forfeits are hard to look beyond, aren't they?
Yeah, they would be fun.
Jax just does spring to mind when he couldn't actually finish the challenge, when Dave basically tried to end him by giving him
his life.
A bottle of coke.
When Dave
had Tabasco, they didn't even give him.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
When Dave took it not only to the next level, to about 4,000 levels up, I think.
Yeah. Over 9,000. Yeah, that was the week when we realised, we can't keep doing this to each other.
Can you imagine if our company's health and safety found out what we were doing? Yeah. We'd probably have had an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine if one of us had actually died from a forfeit. This week, your forfeit is to, you know, go across a tightrope from Beckley Point to, you know, the lighthouse on the Hoe. See how that goes. Yeah, we did go. We talked about, you know, being a bit more public, I can't remember what it's called now, Impractical Jokers.
Yeah, it never quite
happened. I really wanted to do that. Well, I don't know if you guys have seen that episode where the guy, I can't remember who lost, but basically he got stuck on the field at Leyton Orient before a game, and he had absolutely no prep. And he was told about 30 seconds before he was to walk on the pitch that he had to sing along to a song that was playing over the thing, but he honestly had 30 seconds to prep. So you know how we've done a couple of songs on the podcast where it's like you've given us a few minutes to write some lyrics. They literally stuck him in one of the most hostile London football clubs and had him singing along to some Disney song. We talked about doing that at Plymouth Argyle, but it never happened. And to be fair, I think all of us could be glad that didn't happen, because that would have been very embarrassing.
Doing it in the studio was bad enough.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing, like being videoed singing Phantom of the Opera. I think my Phantom of FPL, I believe, was Mo Salah, because it was one of them weeks where I didn't captain him. One of those many weeks. But exactly. You're right. You can't look past a lot of the forfeits. But I mean, I particularly enjoyed the quiz since we started doing that. That kind of added a new level of competitiveness to it, which I don't know if that made it necessarily more enjoyable, because obviously losing quizzes is quite frustrating. But it certainly upped the ante, and definitely entertainment. When we listen back to it, even though we've recorded it, I mean, we got to be honest, like, there were times when we were cracking up at some of the stuff we recorded in the quiz.
In terms of quizzes, I think when I got Eric Bailly.
Oh, that was so
in
good.
In the tiebreaker between me and Baron.
That was amazing.
That was my final show, wasn't it?
That was your final show. It was an outrage.
It's an outrage.
Myself, David, and Chris Errington, our colleague, we listened to it the other day and we laughed again. It was so funny.
Every now and then, Baron, and obviously you've left. We all have a few, we should just say on our sports desk, all of us have a few recordings of certain individuals, you know, most of them, you know, football managers or whatever, or well-known people in the community, when they've said something funny, and we'll just stick that on and listen to it. Old recordings. I mean, I've got recordings of Steve Evans a few weeks ago at Argyle, and me and one of my colleagues were like listening back to that. But there is one that we always liked. Should we listen to Baron getting annoyed about the quiz again? Yeah, go on in.
Remembered.
So it would just be like, we've got a spare moment, just, this is an outrage.
It was absolutely fantastic.
And that's the thing, what I love about the quiz was that it meant that a lot of people who we worked with who just weren't that into FPL, I mean, Chris Errington, who covers Argyle, just has no time for FPL, he was able to kind of, it gave him a bit of an accessible link to it, because he loves that clip. He absolutely loves that clip.
He loves the forfeits as well.
Yeah, he does love hearing about it. And the great thing, a lot of our colleagues would suggest ideas. We should say one forfeit idea we've never ended up doing was Stuart, our editor, suggested that we, what was it? Was it a fisheye?
Eat a fisheye.
So thankfully, that never happened. So that's good. So I'm glad. And then one other thing that he always wanted me to do for you, Jack, because you're a bit of a clean freak, a bit of OCD. He wanted me to get a cup or a mug or something and kind of leave some water in it for about 3 weeks or something. Or maybe some juice, something that would have, you know, substance to go off. Then pour that out of the cup, so you don't have to drink that, but you then have to just drink a normal drink out of that cup.
So I wouldn't be able to do that.
Exactly, because he knows full well that you wouldn't be able to do it. But luckily, you know, I always came up with a better idea, because I did think that was a bit disgusting.
Well, for me, quickly going to my highlight, and sadly it was one day where you weren't there. and it was Beren with his head down a drain.
Oh yeah.
It's funny. Quite a lot of my highlights actually do involve you, Beren. Fact that you had
he's got a crush.
The fact that your head was down the drain though, and you were saying, "I work in an office. I shouldn't have to do this." whilst trying not to puke up this sort of chilly drink that you downed.
I think it was quite thick, wasn't it?
It was fantastic, and John Bishop, our cameraman, was so worried about you. And I remember he kept saying to me, "Jack, go and look after him." And I kept saying, "I don't think he wants people crowding around him when he's suddenly being sick."
I think it's for my own.
Exactly.
That was absolutely fantastic. But to be honest, it's just doing it with you two has been fantastic. I think we've had a great relationship on the podcast.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And it was just a joy, wasn't it? In the week, it was something we all look forward to, even if
we
had a bad week.
You did well to keep it going after I left. I mean, with two people, you've really made it work. You've done well.
Thank you very much. That's coming from one of our listeners now.
Well, I can guarantee, it won't be carrying on as a monologue. So this is the end.
Anybody wants to hear from Jack about it.
Yeah, exactly. What's your overall rank again?
Second.
Second. What in? In the Barnsley Boys League.
The Barnsley Boys.
We actually, I don't think we've mentioned that before. We should go back to Stuart, our sports editor. He went to university in Barnsley about 20 years ago. And it's got to the point now where he's always had a league with all his mates he went to uni with, and it's called the Barnsley Boys. And obviously, there was a lot more people in it at the beginning. But I think there's about 10 people in it, possibly.
To point out, the reason we noticed it is because he was doing so poorly, yet he was always first in this league.
Yeah. So he went into this league thinking, I wonder how many people are in this league this season. One guy, him.
That's what I need to do. That's how I win a league. I might have to do that next season.
This is the same Stuart James that triple captained Mo Salah against Wolves.
Yeah, that's actually true. We should say that was incredible. So then, that was in blank game week 31, played as triple captain, 4 goals and an assist. So actually, very well played. But yeah, he probably should get in contact with his mates from Barnsley because they've all stopped playing FPL.
All gone missing.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, it would. We all know that what's happened there is he created it several years ago, and it's just he's renewed it every year, and no one's joined it, and he just wasn't aware. But we did quite laugh to see him winning a mini league of one.
And just briefly, I just want to say that as well, what I like about it is the fact that it's developed from the very first profit, which was not saying a word beginning with C,
yeah,
and being
true.
Flicked if you did, to people being sick down a drain. That's what I quite like the development.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it has gone from, kind of 0 to 60. It went from 0 to 60 very quick. You know, we kind of did that first podcast. It was about half an hour, and it was literally just like, loose discussion about what we're going to put in your team. And then it got listened to by something like 1,200 people in a couple of days when everybody had FPL fever. And then that kind of gave us, and obviously a lot of people who listened probably read some of the articles we did as well. So to take it from just kind of being, because it was quite interesting, I should probably mention this on air. At the beginning of the season, I wasn't too sure if we were going to do FPL because there was a few changes on the desk and, we were looking at a few sort of different avenues of how we could cover different things. And I came very close to saying, I'm not sure I'm going to have time for FPL this year. And Jack said, no, I think you should give it a go because it's done well in the past when we've sort of done it not quite to the same level. Mm. And it took off. And I definitely, the podcast has been a huge part of that. And it's been a great dialogue with people who've then read the stories as well.
And just before we move on, we should thank John Bishop, our producer, because he's got a lot of work to do in his day, and he does always, or normally get the podcast out in good time. And it's not always easy. So John's done, and he's done a great job doing the quiz since Baron left as well.
Exactly. So. I mean, a lot of people have, and we should thank Richard Amofo, who came on back over Christmas when we had a few people off. So there's been a lot of people come together to help make this something that's been really good. I mean, one thing we should should say is that a lot of newspapers do podcasts, but they always find it really difficult to kind of keep it going. Because, sometimes it's a difficult subject matter to necessarily do. I mean, there's a few newspapers who do ones for news, and it's not regular to the same level. So I want to say I'm really proud, and I think we should all say we're quite proud of the fact that I think this is our 33rd or 34th episode. To keep it going this long, especially people always say that less and less people are interested in their FPL team every week. Because, obviously some people just get frustrated with how their team goes. So to keep it going to the point that, 3 weeks ago we had our most listened to podcast of the whole season, I feel like we can all sort of give ourselves a pat on the back. But of course, we've had great help from the listeners by sticking through us.
And we're on all the special guests as well that we've had on the phone. Of course. We've had some great people on the
phone. Silly me, how could I forget?
Ben Dinnery.
We've had Ben Dinnery, who's obviously the FPL physio.
A few from Who Got the Assist.
Tom's come on. Actually, we should just say, Tom's come on twice from Who Got the Assist. And both times he's come on, I've competed against him at a different thing. First off, it was puns. I won that one. Then it was the quiz. He won that one. And he said that he'd have to come on for a third appearance before the end of the season to settle it. And unfortunately, we haven't arranged it. So maybe we'll have to do something on Twitter. We should. I'll call him out. I'll call him out sort of like, fight style. But we'll see. We'll see. You are listening to Waiting on the Bonus Points. So we're going to finish our final episode our last segment is going to be Friday Night Deadline and FBL Quiz. There we go. For the last time, you've heard the chan, which is totally not from any Chris Tarrant-related quiz show. So, Jack, I'm going to hand you the sound effects, and hopefully you can remember how to operate them.
Fingers crossed.
Because we are going to return to our old format. For those of you who are big John Bishop fans, we do apologise. He's chuckled there because he knows he's been shafted.
Wow.
He's been moved back to his original position.
I'll put up my new podcast.
Yeah, we've benched him. So those of you who had John Bishop in your waiting on the bonus points fantasy teams this week, he has been benched. I do apologise.
Sorry if you triple captained me.
Yeah, those of you who triple captained John Bishop, our stats are telling us it was about zero people. apologies, it's a blank from John this week. But yeah, so Jack is going to ask the questions to me and Baron because we haven't bothered to check, but we're pretty sure that quiz wins probably between me and Baron.
I don't think you've ever beaten Baron. I've beaten Baron once. You've never beat Baron.
I don't know. Well, either way, Jack was so.
So I've beat you and Baron. You've never beat Baron. You're the worst, Dave. You've never beat one.
Well. Thanks, Jack. Thanks. Okay. Tell you what. Let's go with what actually happened. Was you came to my desk the other day? Dave, please let me ask questions on the final episode.
Who won the last two quizzes?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, admittedly, the questions weren't great, though.
Right, well, they're okay. So are we ready? We're going back to the old format. We've got a captain pick. 12 questions, and I need a way of crossing up the questions.
There's this thing called a pen.
Yeah, I have given him a pen.
A pen that doesn't work.
A pen
this is unbelievable.
That does not work. So
no, actually, don't worry. It's fine.
Yeah, it does work. The only thing I should say is you just need to keep tapping the screen on the sound effects device, which may or may not be a phone.
So, Dave, you're first because you've got less points.
We should just explain that the captain question gives whoever gets that question correct 2 points instead of one. That's come back this week. So, I'm going to go with a number that's not really that relevant to Baron. Number 9, please.
You swine.
Okay, so Bharat Dhodi is ranked first in the world for FPL.
All right.
But how many points does his team, Boom Chaka Laka, have? You can have 30 either side.
2087.
What question number was that? Number 9.
Number 9.
2087, you said?
Yeah. Oh, I want to know. Oh, it's wrong. He's gone for it.
I thought you would have known. I think quite a few people are over 2,000. So
You got 5 seconds. It's a bit of a guess, you know.
2,327.
Flipping heck. I'm never catching him.
So you can have 30 either side, but that is... no correct answer for you, so that's question 9 gone. Baron, over to you.
11, please.
11. Okay, so this is one of John's infamous cryptic clues that I've come up with myself.
I think
you've listened to our podcast, so I'll give you a clue, and it's one of the teams in the
EFL. He's been on it as well, actually. You may remember him. You may remember me from such films as...
You've got five.
So it's a Premier League team, is it?
No, it could be anyone in the EFL.
It could be Elberton Villa.
EFL? Just the 92 to choose from, then.
Just the 92. You might have recalled last week I got Aston Villa and David took exception to that.
I took huge exception to it, because it could be Elberton Villa.
Right, question 11. Vosper's so, Oak. Eaten a lot of pig meat.
Oh, he's run out of time. I've got to be honest, Baron, I've got no idea as well. Fulham.
Fulham.
Oh.
Fulham.
Yeah, well, me and Baron clearly just so nonplussed. I hate these cryptic questions. Have you got a Cool Runnings question, Jack?
No, I don't.
Oh, because he's never watched it. Oh. Honestly, I want to say again on the final episode, it is an absolute, it's an outrage that I've never, ever had a Cool Runnings question. Jack has stolen it every week.
I've never got one right.
It's an outrage.
The lucky goldfish.
Maybe the tiebreaker.
Oh, maybe the tiebreaker. Yeah, because me and Baron have both seen it as well, so it'd actually be intriguing.
Next question for you, Dave.
Okay, I'll have question 1, please, Carol.
Question 1. Mohamed Salah has wowed everybody this season with his remarkable form for Liverpool.
He hasn't wowed me.
He has scored 288 FPL points so far this season.
Yeah.
But how many points behind is second place Raheem Sterling? Oh. You can have two either side.
40.
No.
Oh.
No, it's incorrect. Baron, any idea?
75.
Baron would have got that right. 77.
Oh, wow. And Sterling's second place.
Second place. It's mad, isn't it?
Because obviously, you know, it's gone out this week that Salah, I should say, is, what, 8 points away from being the first ever player to break 300 points in a season.
I love Mo Salah so much. Oh, even though when he gets one goal, I love it so much. Like, Salah! So much.
It's the tweets that Liverpool put out, because it is literally just so many A's and so many H's.
And his response to that Kane goal was fantastic.
Wow, really? So good.
Baron's going to be supporting Egypt.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I want Egypt.
They'll be my second team.
Yeah, yeah, same. I want them to absolutely smash Group A. I mean, let's be honest,
and
Russia.
And Higazi. Like, Higazi also has a bit of a cult status in FPL after his opening game week 15 points.
Oh, mate, he's the game week one hero.
Yeah, hero.
Because what was he? He was 4-5 at West Brom in a team back then we thought was good. What a buy.
It's just a shame that he won't be in it next year.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, unless he gets snapped up. But definitely, you know, of course, the World Cup fantasy is coming up. A lot of people may want to play that. Mo Salah and I should say Neymar, two of the first people on my team sheet, might go for Higazi because Group A
is
rubbish.
Is Neymar going to be fit? I thought he was injured.
Oh, is he injured? Oh, well, then maybe he might not go. Okay, good point. I should have remembered that. But yeah, back to the quiz. Apologies.
Back to you, Baron. Question two for you.
Number 7, please.
Number 7. Okay. Arsene Wenger announced that he's leaving Arsenal at the end of the season this week. But which Arsenal player has scored the most amount of FPL points this season?
Ozil? Monreal?
Oh, he's gone for it. He's gone. So I was.
So we have to take your first answer.
Was it Monreal?
It is Monreal.
Oh, gutted.
It is Monreal.
That is... Swear word. Damn.
Ozil's not even in the top three. I wrote the top three down. Sorry, do you know how many.
Sorry, that was Baron swearing.
Do you know how many points? Any guesses?
Something like 145 or something.
Not quite that high.
So many goals.
Yeah, exactly.
128 points.
Wow. Oh,
only two ahead of Lacazette
and 7 ahead of Ramsey. So
wow. Yeah, of course, Ramsey's missed a few games, hasn't he? And Monreal's kind of been steady Eddie in terms of starts. And yeah, so many goals and bonus points as well for him.
So you've had two questions each, 0-0.
Oh, you know on Twitter on a Saturday afternoon when hashtag still 0-0 is trending? That's happening right now.
Back to you, Dave.
Okay, I'll have question three.
No, we haven't.
Okay.
Bar Mohamed Salah, which player has had the biggest price rise in FPL this season?
I know this. Raheem Sterling. It's not, is it? No. Just needed to get a name out.
It's not Raheem Sterling. Baron, any idea?
So do you mean the second?
Apart from the second. Because Salah's gone up something like 17 times.
Firmino.
He would have been right again.
Oh, wow.
If you'd been getting David's questions, you'd be doing very well.
Well, I've obviously picked the right questions then.
So Firmino has gone up by 1.1 million this season. Salah's been up by 1.6, and Otamendi and Sterling in joint third 0.9.
Oh, so it wasn't far off. I mean, Sterling was a bit of a guess because I just knew I needed to say someone. So,
well, that's the reason I didn't include Salah, because it'd be obvious. That
he was the most, exactly.
Of nearly everything.
Started the season at 9 million. Think of that as a bargain. Imagine that 9 million.
Certainly
now.
Won't be that much next year if he's still with Liverpool.
I think it'd be 11.5 minimum if he's still here.
Well, if Sanchez is.
Yeah, Sanchez was 11.5 at the start of this season.
He'll be 11.5, won't he, Salah?
Yeah, exactly.
And Sterling should be quite high as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if they'll reclassify him as a striker.
Yeah, yeah, I'm intrigued to see what happens there. Because obviously he does play as a forward.
As far forward as Firmino.
Yeah. And I still think that there's suggestions. Well, some people have suggested that even Alonso might get switched to a midfielder. So definitely keep an eye on the positional changes.
That's the interesting thing, isn't it? Because he almost plays as a striker, but he's a midfielder. He gets more points per goal. And that's why he's close
to breaking his record.
They
have to do the same as Moses, really. Like,
yeah.
They brought Moses back from midfield to join him in defence.
Yeah, that's true.
They've got to change it together.
But that's why this breaking the record is a bit skewed, really, isn't it? Because he's almost playing up front.
Yeah, that's true.
He's getting more points per goal than a striker.
If he were to get reclassified as a forward next year and scored the exact same number of goals, he wouldn't get the same number of points because he'd get clean. He wouldn't have clean sheets either. So intriguing. Keep an eye on that over the summer.
So back to Baron.
Let's go with number 10.
Still got that one. So David De Gea has taken plenty of plaudits for his goalkeeping this season, but which Premier League goalkeeper has made the most saves?
Butland.
Has he got it? Oh no! Come on. There we go.
Correct. Butland.
Thank God for that.
Has got the most amount of saves.
I've just deafened the producer with the sound effect again.
Saves. When I saw I got 5 points from yesterday, I was a little bit.
Yeah, that was a good
pick. Any idea how many saves this season?
It's something like 120 something, is it?
134.
Because the reason I put Pope in my free hit was because he was up there per game, but yeah.
Fabianski made 121, Pickford 112, and De Gea with 108.
With Fabianski, I think the 121 he saved the season, wasn't it something like 120 were in that game against Man City?
It's certainly gone up.
We should just say, actually, he conceded 5 goals in that game, but took, what, 2 or 3 bonus points? Absolutely crazy.
So, Baron leads 1-0 after 3 questions each, so we're halfway through.
Okay.
Let's crack on,
Dave. I'll have question 12. Is that available?
Yep, still available. It's another crap tick.
Oh, I want the captain. I want the crap tin, not the crap tick.
Okay. Giving life where you eat.
I'm just going to press it now. Yeah. I've got no idea.
Ridiculous.
Baron?
No chance.
Doctor Home. That's all I could think of.
Bournemouth. Bournemouth.
Say that again.
Bournemouth. Giving life. Born. Where you eat. Mouth.
Bournemouth. I was thinking restaurant. Where you eat.
I don't know that.
I don't. giving life. I was born. I was giving life. I don't. It's not a great clue. You give birth. Is giving life.
Giving life.
No, but being born isn't giving life. Being born is getting life.
Baron is still 1-0 up. Dave doesn't like it when he gets it wrong. This is the argument he had the other day.
No, I just hate. I hate the cryptic clues.
There's
really
no more cryptic clues.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
Back to you, Baron. You have a 1-0 lead.
Number 8.
He's going to get the captain
number
one, isn't
he? Bear with me 2 seconds.
I do have music for that.
Number 8. We haven't had that one, so that's good.
Is it the captain?
No, it's not the captain.
Ooh, it's going to come right near the end.
So this is the football question that's not to do with FPL. The FA have been forced to apologise to Manchester United and Tottenham after the FA Cup clash between the two teams this weekend. Why?
Because the dressing rooms were branded as Tottenham. I don't know.
No. Do you know why the FA have had to apologise to?
Is it something to do with VAR?
No. It's because of a tweet that was sent out from their official account. Have you not seen and heard about this?
Oh, is it the one about Kane?
They mocked Harry Kane with a tweet.
Oh, if you reply with Harry Kane, you're getting blocked.
No. They mocked Harry Kane with a tweet. They tweeted, "What's that in your pocket, Chris?" accompanied with a short video of Chris.
Harry Kane. Yeah. No, I have seen that, yeah.
So just to finish, they tweeted, "What's that in your pocket, Chris?" accompanied by a short video of Chris Smalling saying, "Harry Kane."
No, he kind of says it a bit more like Moss from the IT Crowd. He says, "Harry Kane."
Which account was that?
That was from
the
official
FA account. Yeah, no, I do remember that now.
So they've
had to apologise today to both teams who didn't love really that. Take too kindly to that.
What, Man United didn't take too kindly to that? I'd love that. Chris Smalling must be thinking, oh, I've made it, lads.
So
why would United be annoyed? But I get why Tottenham would need an apology, because Harry Kane... Well, the thing is, Harry Kane didn't even play. Maybe is that the problem? Because it's a bit inaccurate. Harry Kane just wasn't even there.
Back to you.
Oh, okay. One, two, there we go. Four, right, five, so
we've had 4 questions each. Dave, you're 1-0 behind.
Okay, so we had question 5 yet?
No.
Okay, is it the captain question?
No.
Oh, come on. I need it. I need this captain question.
Manchester City and Arsenal make up the bulk of this week's dream team with 7 players. Just bear in mind to anyone that's listening, tonight's game against
Everton and Newcastle. Doesn't factor, yet.
So Manchester City and Arsenal make up the bulk of this week's dream team with 7 players. Manchester City had 4, Arsenal had 3. Crystal Palace and West Brom make up the rest with 2 players each. Can you name 1 player from both West Brom and Crystal Palace that made the dream team?
Rondon and Hennessy.
Correct.
Oh, yes! Oh, it's a 2-part answer as well. I'm proud of that.
You took 1 second to answer that. So you got Hennessy and Rondon. Can you name the other 2?
Is it 2 from each team?
Yeah.
It'd be a defender from Palace, I would assume. Sacco.
Sacco, is it 1?
And then West Brom, who scored their other goal? Was it Rodriguez?
Jake Livermore.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, pick it for the World Cup!
So it's 1-1. 1-1.
1-1 with what, 2 questions left each?
No, you've got 1 left. Baron's got 2.
Oh, of course, yeah, I went first, didn't I? So,
you're not used to going first in quizzes, are you?
Okay, yeah, that's true. And then, so 1 of those 3 is the captain question as well.
1 of those 3 is the captain question. Ooh. So all to play for. Baron, you've got questions 2, 4, 6.
Four.
That is not the captain question.
Ooh. My finger was poised to press the captain question buzzer.
2 players share the accolade of having the biggest price fall this season. Name 1 of them.
Lindelof.
I actually would have said Lindelof as well. That would have been my answer.
That's incorrect. These 2 players have both dropped 0.8 million this season. Bernardo Silva is 1 of them.
Really?
And
wow.
The other is Gabbiadini.
Oh, I suppose that doesn't make sense.
Gabbiadini is dross.
Anyone remember him? Who's that?
I remember I bought him when he first arrived. He went through that good little patch.
And then
he's done nothing since then.
Yeah, because he started really well. I don't think he's scored. I don't think he's had back-to-back goals in game week since probably about a year ago. So, Baron, Baron's so frustrated about not getting that question right that he pushed the phone he's speaking through off the table. But you're back. Don't worry. Leave that in. So to the realism.
There are 2 questions left. You've got question 2 and question 6. 1 is a captain and 1 is a non-football related question.
That's such so much pressure.
Dave,
what would Jack put as the captain? Who used to play 6 for Argyle? Any famous captains with squad number 6? I'm going to go with question 6. Is that the captain question?
That is not the captain question. No! So,
this
is a non-football question.
It's going to be some pleb TV.
Ant McPartland.
Who's that?
Famed for TV presenting alongside Deck.
Oh, you mean Ant? I thought you said Anne.
Ant McPartland.
Right, okay.
Famous for TV presenting alongside Deck.
Yeah.
Was recently in court for drink driving.
Yes.
But what incident happened live on the BBC coverage?
I know this. There was a car crash behind the reporter. Yes!
That's correct.
Yes! Oh!
There was a three-car crash. One car shunted into another, which therefore pushed the one in front into another car.
It was so good.
On live TV.
It was so good. It's just perfect television. They're literally outside a court case about drink driving and they film a live car crash.
To be fair, I'm glad you got that because now Baron's got the captain question. If he gets it, he gets 2 points.
Oh, yeah. So
there's no tiebreaker.
It's winners. Yeah,
wow,
we can still do it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so
no
literally,
what does the captain question mean?
You get 2 points if you get it right.
So I'm 2-1.
It's just a simple question then. Same question as always, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a question.
So basically the score is 2-1 to me. If you get this wrong, then I win 2-1. But if you get it right, then you win 3-2.
And captain questions are always about captains.
Oh, please be something so obscure. Something about Captain America.
Here we go. Which character did Arthur Lowe play in a British sitcom that was set in the fictional seaside town of Walmington-on-Sea?
Captain Mannering.
Oh, of course.
Correct.
It is. Oh, I knew it. The second that came out, I was like, I know that.
Fantastic. What a way to end the quiz.
Too many Sundays with my grandparents.
Oh, yeah, mate, Thursday. Literally, my grandparents as well, but Thursdays. Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Oh, that was a great end to the quiz. That was fantastic. Oh. That was a good one to sum up our final one.
Although I do have a good tiebreaker.
Here he comes.
It goes back to a few weeks ago.
1 second, we should just introduce you.
Teddy Sheringham or Ronnie Mosier.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we're now going to listen to John Bishop, who once met Teddy Sheringham at an airport.
Ronnie Mosier.
Oh, it comes out he dated Ronnie Mosier.
Okay, so a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you remember, because you probably don't listen to what I say anyway, but I talked about the fattest goalkeeper ever, yeah?
I think so.
And I said something about, apparently he filled up the whole goal. Well, that was a load of rubbish. But my tiebreaker question is, you both get to answer this,
okay?
And whoever's closest, how much did he weigh? And stone.
23.
Baron?
No idea.
Have a guess.
In stone?
Yeah.
28.
Oh, Dave wins.
Oh, what was it?
24.
Oh, yay.
24.
Hollow victory. Yeah. A question about a fat goalkeeper I've never met, and it was a complete guess.
So Dave, you've still never beaten Baron at a quiz.
Oh, don't remind me. Oh, he's like,
something's
never changed. There's always next lifetime.
He's Wenger and I'm Moyes.
And you've lost 3 quizzes in a row as well.
No, I refuse to accept this reality. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Well, that is the end of our quiz. But we always like to end on a stat of the week. And this week, a little bit different to usual. It's not going to be FPL related. It's going to be about the podcast itself. And then it is my difficult task to bring Waiting on the Bonus Points to a close. But so I've decided.
I know.
Let's just keep recording forever.
Let's just keep going. I mean, it's not like I've got to go out and play football in half an hour or anything. So let's just keep going. But there's an interactive way to end it, which I will reveal once I've given the stat of the week. So this week, the stat of the week, the number that this involves is 21,600. In our first and only season producing this podcast, we have amassed a total of 21,600 listens across all of our episodes, obviously not including this one, because we don't know how many of you have listened to it yet. So we would just like to thank all of you out there for tuning in every week to hear what we've got to say about FPL, sticking with us throughout the season, and helping us, like we say, post some numbers that we're quite proud of. So thank you very much to the listeners for doing that for us.
That could also be the number of tears that are shed while people listen to this podcast. There won't be one next week.
I also think the temperature of the chili that I ate was probably also 21,600 something, so it's probably quite an apt number. But to end the final episode, I was such a daunting task. I was trying a few things. I was just sat with my computer today whilst my daughter was having a nap, thinking, you know, I can't think of what the final line could be. So in the end, I decided to turn to popular culture. And I have picked out 6 lines from famous films that are their final lines that are particularly memorable. And we will use one of those or possibly amend it if we can make it FPL related. We'll see. So these are chosen kind of at random. There's a few in there that I like, a few in there that are a bit stupid. So I'm going to read them out now.
See if you can guess the film.
Is there one from Cool Runnings?
No, I completely forgot about Cool Runnings.
Call yourself a fan.
John, what's the final line?
See you in 4 years, Yard Jamaica.
Yeah, yes. Tell me, should you just scrap this? Should you just be like, that should be the end. See you in 4 years, Yard Jamaica. Maybe we should tone down the Jamaican accents, maybe. I don't know.
No.
I don't know. Should we? I don't know. That's a question. I don't know.
Come on, I know what they're going to do. End the show.
Yeah. No problem, man. So, yeah, well, let's go through the ones I've chosen, which are all going to just be rubbish now in comparison. So,
Guess the film.
Guess the film. So, Barringer, the first one is Roads, Where We Are Going. We don't need roads.
Back to the Future?
Yeah, he's got it. Although, I wanted to get the one from the end of the third one, but I couldn't find it. So,
have you seen Ready Player One yet, Dave?
No, I haven't seen it. I need to, because it's got a DeLorean
it's a
in it.
Geek out.
Yeah, a lot of referencing Back to the Future.
I'm a big geek, so I will definitely make sure I watch that. The next one, this is Ripley, last survivor of the Nostromo, signing off.
Alien.
Barron's, he's on it. 2-0, kind of, if this is a quiz.
Another one you're going to lose, Dave.
Yeah, well, no, but I'm the quiz master. I can't lose.
I've not missed Barron's quizzing. He's too good.
So we could, you know, so they're the two potential ones we've got so far, how we could end this. The next one is, hang on, lads, I've got a good idea. I can just tell you. Actually, there is Hanging Over, but it's a bus. It's the end of the Italian Job.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on, lads, I've got a great idea. And then you'd never know what it is. Literally the definition of a cliffhanger. So we can end on a cliffhanger. Then the next one, the truth is, I am Iron Man. We could end on that.
Iron Man.
We could also end on, the unknown future rolls towards us. I face it for the first time with a sense of hope. Because if a machine, a Terminator, can learn the value of human life. But you don't ruin the rehearsal. Can learn the value of human life. Maybe we can too. Could end on something deep, and then the only other one. I mean, you'll get it quite easily. But we could end on this. With great power comes great responsibility. This is my gift, my curse. Who am I? I'm Spider-Man. So out of those six, is there any in there that you think tops? See you in 4 years, Jamaica.
None of those are even slightly relevant.
No, I know, but they're memorable film endings.
I think I've never watched Cool Runnings, but I vote for the Cool Runnings one.
What about you, John?
We'll reform in 4 years.
Yeah,
time.
I think so. I'm trying to think how you could play on that with the FPL thing. Mr. Emotional, Mr.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Statman. You could do like Spider-Man.
Exactly. With great power comes great responsibility. It's my gift, my curse. Who am I? I'm Statman. It's a bit rubbish.
I don't think that's going to turn into a Marvel film anytime soon.
Statman. Yeah.
No.
Statman. Oh, that's Batman, though, isn't it? So yeah, it's not Marvel, but you know. Hey.
It's Cool Runnings gets it. So we're going to reform in 4 years. Hold on,
Baron. Yeah, we haven't given Baron a vote yet. What do you think, Baron? He's going to go Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings.
I was so desperately hoping I could reveal I'm actually Iron Man at the end of this, but never mind. So there we go. So we're going to end on. I don't know how to do it now. I don't want to do it. It's going to be the end.
This is like a forfeit in itself.
People should know it's been amazing. Like, I've had such a great time, and like, I think the three of us were perfect for it. I think.
Oh yeah, it's been a great chemistry. I think Jack. Yeah, everybody. You all get a final line before I, you know, do the final line.
My final line will be that I'm not going to do the final line because we've all seen how bad my impressions are when I had to do Beren's voice for one of my forfeits.
Saw.
So.
That's how you end it.
Yeah, that could be the final line. So.
No.
We should end on a higher than that.
Cool Runners. John, what about you? What's your final send-off line?
Oh, I've really enjoyed this. It's been great. Like, I don't know much about football, but it is...
Oh, don't you?
Wow.
Never noticed that.
And then, all right. Then I met Teddy Sheridan, and he was like, oh. Anyway. No, it's been great. It's really like, I think you've just... Yeah, like Baron said, the three of you together... It's worked really well, and it is. It's a shame it has to come to an end. Yeah. But you know what they say: all great things have to
do.
Yeah, cut there.
He's going to end on that. As he drops his phone. It's his earphones. He always bangs on at us if we drop something. He's just dropped his earphones, so and it made a noise. But you know, who cares? You know,
we
want realism on this.
Are we exchanging gifts now?
Are we exchanging gifts?
Yeah, one of my biggest regrets that we're finishing on this week is that I had a good enough score to get back into the top 10 of the
Herald
League, and I thought I might get manager of the week.
Yeah, well, obviously because we had to record this at a time where the game wasn't over, we couldn't do
well,
it.
Just vote. I vote Baron manager of the week.
I might go for Thomas Reese beating Charters. Yeah, let's go grander. Tony Fairbairn.
Every week.
He's just incredible. I mean, Liam Gallagher, obviously, you know, come out of retirement as a musician to become an FBL manager. Not
more importantly,
quite as well.
What everyone wants to know is, did I break into the top 10?
No, I think you're something like 280. And I ended up 18th. I mean, I may finish in the top 10 for the season, unlikely, but yeah, I didn't break into the top 10. So unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to go through that. But, you know, we'll probably tweet about it, I'm sure, as to who wins that league. We can congratulate Atletico Grandad when he eventually leaves. So, that brings me on to the final line. So, listeners all around the world, FPL managers, See you in 4 years, our Jamaica.
Thank you for listening to Waiting on the Bonus Points. We're always happy to help you out with your FBL team, so if you have any questions for our panel, follow or tweet us at FBL_Herald.
Nu, de Samsung S9 Plus. Voor een genadeloos lage prijs. Check tele2.nl voor de beste deal voor jou. Niet omdat het moet, maar omdat het kan.